Australia relaxes some of the world's strictest COVID-19 measures as it looks to kickstart the economy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Since March 2020, only travelers with special business or humanitarian permits have been allowed to leave Australia, and citizens and permanent residents have only been allowed to return so long as they follow a mandatory hotel quarantine at their own expense. Today, Prime Minister Scott Morrison said it's time to give Australians their lives back.
We've saved lives, we've saved livelihoods, but we must work together to ensure that Australians can reclaim the lives that they once had in this country.
Of course, this all hinges on what else? Vaccines, as the BBC's Shama Khalil explains from Sydney.
The plan changed from elimination to vaccination, which means instead of going for zero COVID, they're ramping up vaccination numbers. And so the plan really is fully vaccinated Australian citizens and residents, and for states to go up to 80% vaccination and above. And if the state reaches that target, then it can open internationally. And as it stands, New South Wales, where I am, is set to be the first one to open internationally. And those who either leave and come back, or those stranded Australians that will come back, won't have to go to hotel quarantine anymore. It will be a 7-day home quarantine for those fully vaccinated citizens and residents.
So the country has added China's Sinovac and India's Covishield vaccines to its list of approved vaccines. And that could have a sizable economic impact down the line, couldn't it, Shima? Because Chinese students account for a third of a sector in Australia that was worth more than $25 billion a year to Australia's economy.
As you say, there are two vaccines, one from China and one from India, that have been added to that list, which means more people can come in. It will make a difference for the citizens coming in from those countries. So international students, you know, China, for example, has a huge number of international students that come into Australia. Same thing with India. So that could mean a larger number of people coming in down the line when these restrictions open up even further.
The BBC's Shama Khalil for us in Sydney. Thanks for your time this morning.
Great to be with you, Victoria.
Well, checking the numbers now, global stock markets are starting October on the back foot with declines across much of Asia and Europe this morning. Markets in Hong Kong and Shanghai were closed for a national holiday. That's as Golden Week begins there. Meanwhile, manufacturing data from China overnight showed activity slowed alongside a slowdown in the nation's economic growth. Here in Europe, inflation is expected to rise more than 3% to its highest level since 2008. That's sending benchmarks here in London, Paris, and Frankfurt down in the 0.7% to 0.8% range. Well, as we just heard from Shima Khalil in Sydney there, the global race to procure COVID-19 vaccines continues for many nations. The boss of German pharmaceutical company CureVac told us yesterday he believes a partnership with British giant GlaxoSmithKline can help efforts to boost the efficacy of CureVac's vaccine candidate. It's not just GSK that's invested resources in the project. The German government and European Investment Bank have put hundreds of millions of dollars toward the effort, too. From CureVac's Tübingen headquarters, boss Franz Haas explains why that support is so crucial.
If you start to plan a clinical trial like this rapidly, you need to build up manufacturing, which is a huge investment. And then on top, you have to make your commitments to your suppliers. And this ends up in a significant, up to €1 billion amount. And without this, certainly you cannot do it.
Your company recently went public in the U.S. You know, there are pros and cons to being a public company, but if you publish disappointing results, you know, you could see a negative stock price reaction. Do you worry how that could affect your ability to continue developing?
This is the first product. Yes, we have not been the first one, but we have high hopes that the data are good enough for approval. Then we have to take a decision when is that we say, now we'll shift over to the second generation to be full speed, and then the multivalent and the next one. And the public listing brings you to explain. And of course, if you don't have good news to report, it will have an impact on your share price. And if you then compare the share price to others and say the potential of the entire platform is there, we are just starting. I say, okay, do you want to be early or late?
There was an interesting perspective that somebody published a month or two ago that argued you haven't been able to have the efficacy that you want from the vaccine because you have access to the supply chain to develop these kinds of vaccines that are already on the market. Maybe you should just make somebody else's vaccine. What is your response to that, to those kinds of arguments that you should just give up?
Well, in the field of innovation, if you give up, just you didn't hit your goal in the first place. And again, I think we hit the goal, but not as good as others. Ingmar Hoerr and Florian Fonnemühl were starting this company 20 years ago on this basis of the technology. Others are developing vaccines, which is good. Also, you see that the efficacy of the other vaccines is going down because of the variants. So we need to develop this further, as the others need as well. And of course, we should not block something which is usable for others.
One of the other differences between your vaccine and the others is the cold storage requirement. Your vaccine could help get more doses to places in the world that need them the most, millions of people who haven't even received their first vaccine.
This was in the beginning. Everyone is working exactly on this cold chain question. The vaccines have been very fragile, couldn't be shaken. Also with the others, as with ours, you're constantly trying to improve your vaccine, especially the stability. And so this is certainly key to bring it to areas where you don't have the stable cold storage. And a lot of improvements already have happened. So I think within a year or 2 years, this completely will have changed.
Franz Haas, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Well, if you missed it, you can catch the full interview with Mr. Haas at marketplace.org later today. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.